10 o'clock hours of Wilde and Tausch with Mark Silverman, Sylvie of Waddle and Sylvie, and it's our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Getting some rave reviews on social media for his shirt. We spent some time discussing the Caleb Williams vis-a-vis Jordan Love possibility. We will not recover that ground, but I do have a question that ties them both together that I'm going to ask Sylvie in a second. A couple of tidbits from Matt LaFleur's 9-minute press briefing before practice, which kicks off at 10:30. It's going to go an extra half hour longer than yesterday, so till about 12:45, 12:50. It's 88 degrees and humid here in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur saying it's going to be a gut check for these guys, and he thought yesterday's practice was, quote, lethargic. So we will see how that goes. Also, Tucker Kraft, the pride of South Dakota, is close to returning from his torn pec, the tight end, but he is not ready yet. LaFleur says that Kraft has been asking to practice every day. So there are some of the tidbits from Matt LaFleur at the podium. All right, Sylvie, yesterday we did a poll question. I know you and Waddle love to do polls.
Yes.
But the poll question we actually stole from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I mean, flat out, like, plagiarized it, copied and pasted it. Are you nervous about Jordan Love living up to expectations after signing his big extension with the Packers? The polling wound up not nervous at all, 59.1%. Yes, a little nervous, 40.9%. You obviously are rooting against him being good. We've established that. But I'm going to turn this poll around on you and ask you this. How nervous are you that Caleb Williams is not going to be as good as he has been advertised as being, as this can't-miss prospect, the number one overall pick, a guy who went into his final season at USC with everyone knowing he was going to be the top overall pick? That's a lot of expectation. How nervous are you that he's not going to be him?
I wake up nervous, Wilde. I mean, I wake up nervous as a human. So,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, like, this is where the heart and the mind kind of bicker with each other, where my mind tells me that he's different. I knew Justin Fields in camp last year, wasn't it? I knew watching those practices that, yeah, he ran in the second year and made a lot of chicken salad, but he still wasn't processing. And I wanted to see at the start of the third year, could he go in and could he process? So my brain told me watching right away, and a lot of Bears fans got mad at me when I kept saying, look, it's not happening. This isn't happening. And people started calling me a hater. And I'm just, all I was doing was stuff that you do and reporting what my eyes were seeing.
No, that's
where and that's where my heart doesn't override my eyes. So again, this is where Caleb now hasn't played. So all I can do is judge the scouting reports, judge what I hear, talk to as many people. My brain tells me he's different. He throws the ball, he processes, he scans the field, he does a lot of the great things. But my heart tells me it's never worked here. It's the last thing in my sports life that I haven't had. We were just talking about, you know, being a Chicagoan. I got Michael Jordan. I finally broke down the wall of never winning a Cubs championship. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. You know, I've seen the Hawks win. I've seen the White Sox have won here. We talked about the Bulls. The Bears won in 85. The only thing I haven't had in my lifetime as a sports fan is a star quarterback. I've never had that, a true star quarterback, something that you guys have had generation after generation. Every generation of living Packer fan can talk about, you guys can argue about who your favorite quarterback has been through the generations. We've never had one. So I worry that, yes, is he the next great hope or is he the next great hype? But I do truly believe so. Okay, to break it down into analytics, 78% of my self believes he's going to work. You know, 22% of me says, I'm not sure. But my brain tells me he's going to work. That this is, they have surrounded him correctly. I don't know if Eberflus is the guy, but I believe that he, just because of the skill and what they've done to surround him, that this is finally, we're finally going to be up to the level of competing with the rest of the league from a quarterback perspective.
I have a follow-up to that, but a text from Ian and East Troy. Can we get an update on the Bears' newest weapon, punter Torrey Taylor? Do you ever get sick of being the butt of Wisconsinites' jokes?
Yeah, there's a good comp. We're the Iowa of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about like Marathon Oil or stuff like that. We drafted the Iowa punter. We don't usually have the star quarterback. We rely on the defense. You know, and there are things that you can be proud of from a football perspective, but it's never pretty. Do you know what I mean? And so, sure. Torrey Taylor, this is the big hot button, especially at the radio station, too, where I kind of like to stoke the fire between the guys. The guys like Carmen DeFalco, Waddle, and Yurko. Yurko, who played, obviously, for a while in Green Bay and was a fan favorite. They hate the pick. Hate the pick. They believe you can find the punter, that there's not a lot between a fourth-round punter and a punter that you can get as an undrafted free agent. Guys like Jeff Miller and guys who went to Iowa and have watched him play every single game, and Big Ten fans say, this guy is truly a weapon. He'll flip the field. You know, and we're still arguing, Wilde, about Devin Hester. Yurko doesn't believe that Devin Hester belongs in the Hall of Fame. So what does a special teamer truly do? It's an interesting question.
All right, this is not a Bears-centric show, but I do want to talk about what the Bears have put together, because we do have you here, and I do think somewhere beneath the wisecracks and the smart-ass jokes is there is a nervousness for some Packers fans that they maybe have finally gotten it right. They've put together talent on both sides of the football. They got the number one overall pick without being the worst team in the league. That's what they had the previous year, to have the number one pick. But this time, they traded away the number one pick, got a stud wide receiver in DJ Moore and some other picks, and then they went and had the number one pick the next year after a 7-win season. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk a little bit about Hard Knocks. The question I want you to ponder, though, and I'll get your answer coming up, is the one thing that I have said about Jordan Love in terms of if there is a nervousness that should come with the expectations being put upon him is not that he's going to get fat and happy and complacent. That's not his personality. It's not that he's going to become this kind of mercurial, unpredictable personality, because that's not him either. If there is a component of his personality that I think could be a challenge for him given this contract, it's that he's so damn conscientious that he's going to feel the burden of that, wanting to say, hey, they gave me this contract. I need to repay them with elite level play. And he's going to put a level of self-pressure on himself that causes that. I am curious, based on your, and I understand it's admittedly limited exposure to him at this point, but what the feeling is of maybe Bears media that you have been around or your own experience with him on how Caleb Williams is going to handle the expectations. Because not only is he expected because he was a can't-miss prospect, it's also he carries the hopes and dreams of people like you, who is 53 years old or 52 years old.
52, don't age me.
And was, I'm 52 too. But you were, what, 14 when the Bears won the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's carrying the expectations of the Sylvies everywhere to get this team and have that team have a franchise quarterback. So I want to explore that with you coming up. Before we can, though, we have to hear from Tausch one more time from the magic of recorded discussions, talking about his love of Coors Light. So Tausch will tell us about Coors Light. We'll get Sylvie's answer to my expectations for Caleb Williams' question after that. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're on vacation, relaxing in the summer heat, or just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. I'm not afraid of getting old and I will stay.
Continuing with Sylvie as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. The Bears believe in better. They just aren't. But maybe they are now, and we'll get a poll question in the field to see if Packers fans are worried about that coming up. But Sylvie, I want to get to my question. I also want to ask about Hard Knocks. What are the impressions? And again, nobody knows Caleb Williams at this point. Nobody in the Chicago media, no Chicago Bears fans. What are the impressions that you get of him in terms of how he's going to handle the level of expectations that will come with the being the quarterback of the long-suffering Chicago Bears?
He had a quote the other day, Wilde, about, you know, pressure, that he never looks at pressure being a thing. And the thing about Caleb Williams that I've liked is that he's been a product of the NIL system. So a lot of people consider him being a guy who was a pro at USC. He was getting paid like $10 million a year. I remember flying to Kansas City with my kids to go see the Bears get their ass kicked by the Chiefs last season at the beginning of the year.
Fun.
And fun. And as we were going, if you've ever been in O'Hare, from Concourse B to C in the United terminal, you go down the escalator. And above the escalator, there was this big advertisement in Chicago of Caleb Williams for United. And it always stuck with me that it was September, and I was going to a Bears game, and here was the quarterback of USC on an ad board, you know, and that's how big he was at the time. And now he's here as the Bears quarterback. So, like, I'll ask you this question. Is there more pressure on the next Bears quarterback like Caleb Williams because nobody has ever done it? Nobody's ever thrown for 30 touchdowns. No one's ever thrown for 4,000 yards. No one's ever beaten the Packers. Or is there less pressure on him because, I mean, like, no one's ever done it? And, like, big deal. Like, they've all failed. So why would there be, why should I make it more pressurized? And it's not like I'm stepping into Aaron Rodgers' shoes or I'm stepping into Brett Favre's shoes. So you answer that question. Is there more pressure on that guy or less pressure?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by pressure because I love the quote, and I think Tausch is one who loves it as well. The quote from Billie Jean King, pressure is a privilege. Right. And if you look at pressure in that way, I think that's a much healthier way to view it. Right. Look, I don't know how you can be Caleb Williams. And it's great if you say you don't feel pressure. You know, I have become in recent years an aficionado and someone who appreciated a lot of the things that Kobe Bryant would say.
Yes.
I think there's a bunch of accounts on social media that you can follow that play different clips of him talking. And as a parent of a couple of athletes, I think there's so many good things in there that I understand there was a period of his life that maybe had I been a parent at a different time, I wouldn't have been using him as an example, but then he became a sports dad himself. I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff there. And I do and I do this when I'm coaching, but I do it more as a parent. Like, I am so big on the importance of the mental aspect of what you do. I had a great conversation yesterday with the Packers backup quarterback, Sean Clifford, who had had a tough go of it. And he told me that before yesterday's practice, he had basically sat down and had a conversation with himself. The Packers have a team psychologist, Dr. Chris Carr, who works with a bunch of guys. And he went from throwing five picks in two practices to no picks and three touchdowns yesterday. He had his best practice. So don't tell me that there's not a connectivity between your brain and your performance. So with all that said, I don't know Caleb Williams. It's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to Hard Knocks, because I love Hard Knocks every year. I've held out hope that the Packers would be forced to be on it someday during my lifetime, because it's never happened. And then they go on this late season run to prevent it from happening, because you know the NFL would have loved to not only send them to Brazil, but put them on Hard Knocks.
Sure.
And so I am really eager to see more about Caleb Williams, because I am fascinated by that. To your question, you know, he can look at it however is healthiest for him, but I would say that he has to recognize the pressure of a fan base that has languished. Brett Favre, for all of his other foibles, embraced those pressures of, this is a franchise that is still stuck in the 60s, man, with the Lombardi era, and has had nothing really to celebrate since. And he was aware of that. He embraced those old 60s Packers who would come back, and Ray Nitschke crying on the sideline when they beat the Panthers in the frigid cold to go to Super Bowl 31. So if Caleb Williams embraces that, then I think he also controls how much pressure he actually feels. I recognize it's there. I can't do anything about how long they've been crappy, but I'm here to change what it is now. And if he has that kind of personality, I think Bears fans are going to get to feel the kind of excitement that Packers fans felt after wandering in the wilderness for 30 years when Favre took them to the promised land.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And my experience so far with Caleb Williams, there was a lot written about him. Is he a diva? Is he going to change? Is he going to demand this with the contract? Does he want ownership? We went through this a lot in Chicago, and I hope Hard Knocks shows this, and I'm eager to see what he's like behind the scenes too. And I really wanted the Bears on this. A lot of Bears fans didn't, because they thought like the expectation would be the pressure would get to them talking about the pressure. And I said, well, what was the pressure last year when they started 0-4 and they got their ass kicked by the Packers? There were no cameras in the building, but every rumor and everything you heard about Caleb Williams has been dispelled. He's so far, what you hear is he is beloved in that building. And I know, like, you understand this too. You've got to look at it with a skeptical eye. They're always going to say he's the first one in, last one to leave. But the true stories that you are hearing are that he is humble, that he is the guy who wants to be seen and not heard, that he has found ways to ingratiate himself with the veterans and with the rookies. He hasn't acted like a diva. He has gotten there on time. He didn't demand that he wanted to go to Washington instead of Chicago. There, like, every rumor that you heard, none of it was true. And he's very, very personable when he gets on that podium. Now, the key of all that is, can he play? Right. None of that matters until he shows you he can play.
So Jesse likes to point out that the YouTube comments tend to be a little more negative than messages.
They're very mean over there.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't watch them.
Not all, but in general.
Twitch is like that, too. Like, do you guys Twitch the show, or is it just YouTube?
We can hardly handle YouTube. You think we're going to go to Twitch?
Twitch is, like, I find Twitch watchers or commenters to be the meanest.
I don't trust QBs like Caleb who try to create their own hype. They underperform. Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield come to mind. That's from John on YouTube. So is that, do you think, first of all, is that based on an accurate premise that Caleb created his own hype?
How is he creating his own hype, I would ask?
What
is he doing differently than other quarterbacks currently in the NFL?
How about that ad at the airport last September? Is that?
Well, look, he's in the NIL era. We've always, most people have always said college players should get paid. He was taking advantage of the marketplace for himself. Like, what? Which one of us would not want to do that?
Yeah, look, it's a different era of college sports. Now, at the same time, you know, different players have had more opportunities than others, right? Like, Braylon Allen had Iron Jock, and I saw him and a few of his teammates last year on a Pepsi campaign. But I don't know. I didn't see the Badgers having a ton of NIL exposure. No one was putting a Badger billboard in O'Hare as you were boarding your airplane, right? So he played for what had been for many years LA's pro team before they got the Rams back. And so I don't look at him that way. I do think there was obviously hype about him, but I don't know if that was generated by him. Like, NFL people were talking about him as being this can't-miss prospect while he was playing his Heisman season, which was not the last college football season. It was the previous one.
Going back to LeBron. I mean, LeBron coming out of high school was driving the Hummer, and like, there was a lot of pressure on him, talking about, again, the P word. Like, all of his games were being aired. Was he saying, look at me, or was he just taking advantage of what was given to him at the time? And he, again, like, he wanted to cite Johnny Manziel and Baker Mayfield, and Baker's done a nice job of bouncing back. But, like, I could point to LeBron and saying LeBron was hyped coming out of high school, was given ads the moment he got into the NBA, and he never let anything – he lived up to the spotlight the day he walked into the league.
And we will see if Caleb Williams is able to do the same. All right, we've got a few – Packers / Bears topics that we want to get to when we play Take It to the Bank, presented by Associated Bank. We will do that next with Sylvian as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
With Sylvian as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe better. Packers practice underway. It's going to be hot out there. I'll share my observations about the heat and anything else that might be going on, but I'll probably just complain about the heat.
You don't seem like a hot guy. You don't seem like you do well in the heat.
I was hot once upon a time, Paula will tell you, but those days are long gone. No, I don't like the heat. I would much rather be cold. I've been cold for being in Minneapolis early in my career and the Badger hockey team playing the Gophers and it being like 57 below walking from the hotel to Mariucci Arena. I've been frozen on the Waldron deck walking into Soldier Field. I'll never forget the moment that I knew the Brett Favre era was ending. Was when the guy who was impervious to cold looked so miserable in that 07 game at Chicago, where his 10 teammates, including Tausch, were on the field in the huddle, and he was waiting until the 30-second clock was running before he would take off his coat and come off the sideline. And he played like garbage that game. So I have been cold many times, and that is not enjoyable. But I really hate when it's hot and muggy. That is not my jam. I am not a fan of that. So, yes, I'm not looking forward to today. Matt LaFleur said it's a gut check for his players. It's going to be a gut check for me, and gut checks are usually a problem, generally speaking. It's time to play a little Take It to the Bank presented by Associated Bank. Of course, Associated Bank is the official bank of the Packers. So maybe Sylvie will finally come around and switch his banking. But the bottom line is, if you are an Associated Bank customer, not only do you get Packers checking from Associated Bank, you get great customer service. They just won another great award for it. And you can get early pay where you'll have access to your direct deposit paycheck up to 2 days early. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Time now to take it to the bank with Associated Bank.
Get out those wallets. Or is it time to cash out? It's Take It to the Bank on Wilde and Tausch, presented by Associated Bank.
Take It to the Bank, presented by the official bank of the Packers, Associated Bank. Mostly Chicago Bears questions with Sylvian with us today. Love it.
Can we use the checking account, by the way, to pay for the fake stock?
Yeah, you can, actually. Yeah, as a matter of fact. All right, here we go. The Chicago Bears are playing in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night, the opening preseason game of the season against the, who are they playing? I don't even know. Houston Texans?
Yeah, the Texans.
That's right.
They're not playing their guys either.
But nobody's playing any of the starters, including, you know, all the Bears starters who everyone thinks would have a good opportunity to gel together and learn to get ready for the season. Take it to the bank, Sylvie. The Bears are making a mistake by not playing their starters for the NFL's first preseason game in the spotlight tomorrow night in Canton.
Yeah, I think they are. Like, how major of a mistake is it? They weren't ready to face you guys last year. In the opener, I thought they had a soft camp last year. I like what, you know, you guys are saying about yesterday's practice, that it wasn't good. Say that stuff. They don't practice hard these days. And if you don't practice well one day, say it and practice harder the next day. A lot of people have said, Wilde, well, not many quarterbacks and not many rookie quarterbacks have ever started a Hall of Fame game. For most of the history of the Hall of Fame game, that's usually the fifth preseason game. Mm-hmm. There are only three preseason games these days. Thus, the Bears are now playing four this year, like the old schedule. Let them go through the procedural stuff, dressing for a game, preparing for a game, breaking the huddle, taking a snap. You don't have to throw the ball, hand it off. But I think a lot of the Bears rookies, and including Caleb Williams, should be playing, including their offensive line.
Yeah, look, I don't love the idea of risking injury to crucial players, so I would not play guys. You know, DJ Moore, for example, yes, can get on the same page with Caleb Williams in practice. I understand the hopes and dreams of Sylvie and everyone else down there rest on Caleb Williams, but he's still a rookie. And so you would like to have him play behind your number one offensive line and get some snaps. I know he'll get more opportunities. It is interesting. Matt LaFleur did say yesterday that while he didn't commit to everyone playing in every game, he did say that he believes everyone will play at least some preseason snaps. So that includes Jordan Love. So I think that's the healthy way, that you have to absorb some risk, but don't take on a ton of risk, again, when you have so much at stake. Jesse, what's next?
So next up on the video stream, you're going to see Tausch's favorite, the Friends cast.
Uh-huh.
The aforementioned DJ Moore just signed one of the richest contracts in Chicago Bears history yesterday with an extension for 4 years. He is a proven number one wide receiver. Sylvie, take it to the bank. It's better to have a true number one wide receiver than the ensemble cast of young players like the Packers have right now.
Well, I mean, do we know that he's their number one? Like, he's fantastic, and he's put up big numbers with bad quarterbacks. But Keenan Allen's been a number one receiver, too. Mm-hmm. And Roma Dunze is a top 10 pick, mm-hmm, who may assume being a like, I think the ensemble that the Bears have is pretty deep, too. And with Cole Kmet, with Gerald Everett, with Swift coming out of the backfield. I think I've got a Friends cast here, too, with, like, hotter Jennifer Aniston. Like, later in the Friends seasons, you guys maybe have the early seasons of Friends,
where we were still wondering, would Ross and Rachel ever get together? All right, I'm actually going to do something that I've seen them do on game shows like 25 Words or Less, which I know Jesse enjoys. I'm going to pass on this.
What?
Because hear me out. Because I want to do this in greater depth than we have time to do here. Because I think this is really interesting, because one of my pet peeves is this idea that not only do the Packers have it better because they don't have a number one receiver, but that there are Packers fans that hope it stays this way, that no one emerges as the number one wide receiver. So it can be, oh, you never know who we're going to throw to. So I am going to table this, and we will discuss it further during the 11 o'clock hour when I am down at Ray Nitschke Field. So that is, I am not avoiding the topic. As a matter of fact, I am saving it for a little later in the program. Next.
I'll believe that when we get to it. Last up and take it to the bank.
Hey, Tausch isn't here.
That's true.
I think we'll get to it.
Last up and take it to the bank, presented by Associated Bank. Should mention that ESPN Chicago is the home of the Chicago White Sox. Sylvie, having lost 16 straight games with a record of 27-83 entering play today, the Chicago White Sox 2024 are the worst Major League Baseball team ever assembled.
Yes. Now, granted, I'm not a Sox fan. I'm not a White Sox hater, but they are absolutely the worst team ever put together. They are worse than those teams of, like, in the 30s. They are worse than the recent Detroit Tigers team. They just sold some of their players, too. They're going to limit Garrett Crochet's innings going forward. They have a general manager who just got robbed by the Cardinals and the Dodgers. They have a manager who could get fired at any day. They probably have one of the worst owners in sports, if not the worst owner. So, yes, they have the collective package of maybe one of the worst teams in the history of sports. Forget baseball team, Jesse. They could be the worst team in professional sports ever.
They've got teams stocking their soda machine for them in the clubhouse.
Yes.
Like the A's of Billy Bean. Hey, Jesse.
They had Billy Bean, though, Wilde.
Yeah. Jesse, do they...
So undeserving of a movie.
Come on. Don't be that way.
They never even made it to a World Series. What are we celebrating that team for?
You're just like every Gen Zer who says stuff like that.
Yeah.
Make a movie about the 04 Red Sox and the run that team went on. Make a movie about the...
Michael Lewis didn't do a book about them. It's based on a book. All right, Jesse, let me just out of curiosity, though, since you proclaimed the Brewers dead after they were swept in a three-game series by the previous worst team in baseball history, according to you and Tausch, the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, they were bad last year.
Do the Brewers have the White Sox on the schedule anymore this year?
Already swept them. We're good.
Okay.
Yep. Already took care of that business.
That would have been a real problem. All right, so...
That's the difference between Craig Counsell last year and Pat Murphy this year.
Of course, you beat
the worst teams in baseball. You don't let them come into your house and sweep you.
We will see how the rest of the season goes as we get into the dog days of summer. August 1st is tomorrow. I don't think things are going to change for the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll see if the Brewers can continue what they have done, because it has been really, really impressive this season. All right, Jesse, you guys need to play some trivia while I make my commute down to Ray Nitschke Field. What's today's category and which caller would you like?
This is going to be fun. So with Sylvie here, I have not sent him the questions, so he gets to play along just like Tausch does.
Nice!
On Wisconsin Geography Wednesday.
Oh, boy. Wow.
So we'll not only see how our contestant does, but we'll see how Sylvie does answering our Wisconsin Geography Wednesday questions.
All right, so that's what we'll do now. We will take... How many games out of first place are the Cubs? 11?
11, yeah.
We will take caller 11. Am I the only one that's wishing that Sylvie had like the Bob Barker microphone, since he's been using a handheld microphone all show? I want to see him be like Bob Barker with a really skinny one with a little top on it, and then play the yodeling game with the little guy climbing the mountain to see if you win the car.
I have Plinko in the side room over here.
Cubs Plinko coming up a little bit later.
I smell a digi
show.
Only. Yeah.
All right. So Jesse and Silver are going to play trivia. We'll take caller 11 in honor of the number of games out of first place the Cubs are. Caller 11 for Wilde and Tausch trivia, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. They will play trivia. I will rejoin you from Ray Nitschke Field during the 11 o'clock hour. So good luck to our contestants. And good luck to Jesse asking all these questions. And good luck to Sylvie. See how many he knows. I have not looked at the questions either, so I hope they're ones that Illinois residents might have a chance at. Caller 11-844-770-3776. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
It's a showdown at Wrigley between heated rivals. Paul Goldschmidt and the St. Louis Cardinals face Cody Bellinger and the Chicago Cubs. Coverage begins Saturday at 1:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Back with you, Jesse and Tausch, for the time being. And I panicked at the last minute on the video stream, so it's not even facing the right way here, so it looks like I'm talking to nobody. My apologies, everyone. Wilde and Tausch back with you. Wilde and Tausch trivia about to take place as Jason Wilde heads down to the sidelines of Packers training camp practice, where he will get set to join us for the 11 o'clock hour of the show. It is time to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. It is Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Before we bring in our contestant, who is a Wilde and Tausch trivia veteran here, Sylvie. So he's been around the corner a time or two here. He's been pretty good at the Wisconsin geography questions. Do you make it up to Wisconsin, like, ever? Do you come up here? Do you know your Wisconsin geography at all?
Yes and no. So I come up to Wisconsin quite a bit. I actually honeymooned in Lake Geneva.
Oh.
My anniversary is August 4th. So we're coming up there, and I'm a believer in why honeymoon to warm weather when we have warm weather. So we rented a house on Lake Geneva, and we enjoyed it. I love Wisconsin, but I don't know geography per se, other than the places that I've been around Lake Geneva, Milwaukee, Wisconsin Dells, stuff like that.
Well,
Madison.
Let's see how you fare then. You'll get to answer after our contestant answers. Our contestant today is AJ in Sheboygan joining us. He is part of Tausch's 565 Analytics Collective, which he does not pay all of his employees for. AJ, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. How about you?
Has Tausch been in touch with you during his summer sabbatical about any projects for 565 Analytics for the upcoming season?
No, it has been radio silent.
That is shocking.
He has been out. So shocking.
All right, AJ. So you will answer the questions first, and then Sylvie will get to play along as well. Here we go. Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Question number one. Which of these cities, a popular tourist destination for Chicagoans, features a lakeside shore path described as, quote, dotted with Gilded Age mansions, many built by wealthy Chicagoans?
Yes.
Is it Lake Geneva, Hayward, or Phibbsville? AJ?
I'm going to guess Lake Geneva.
Sylvie, do you second the notion?
Yes, it's definitely Lake Geneva.
Nicely done. That's a lot of times Tausch will, if he doesn't know the questions, he'll tip off an answer before the question is asked. Sometimes he just straight up says the answer, so at least he didn't do that this time. But nicely done. One for one, AJ in Sheboygan. Question number two. Latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is closest to Chicago? Located farthest south. And quite the coincidence here. Menominee Falls, Sheboygan, AJ, or Winneconne? Which is located farthest south?
Farthest south. That's going to be Menominee Falls.
AJ says Menominee Falls. Sylvie, any idea?
It's definitely not Sheboygan. I know that.
Okay.
So what was the first one?
We had Menominee Falls, Sheboygan, and Winneconne.
I'm going to go with AJ. I'll agree with him and go Menominee Falls.
Nicely done. You're two for two, both of you. Yes, Winneconne up near Oshkosh. Sheboygan, everybody knows where that is along the lake. Menominee Falls, greater Milwaukee area, closest to Chicago. AJ is 2 for 2. Sylvie is 2 for 2. And yesterday, by the way, we had a perfect day. So perfect week going so far. No pressure, AJ. Question number 3. Your final question. Kraut and Wiener Day is an annual celebration held the second weekend in September in which of these Wisconsin cities? Mazomanie, Waterloo, or Ashwaubenon? I don't know if Sylvie believes that this is a real thing or...
It's definitely a real thing. I definitely believe that it's a real thing. Is there a Waterloo, Wisconsin? I know Waterloo, Iowa, so I don't know if he's trying to trick me on this one. I'm going A or C on this. What were the... Do I have to let AJ go first?
Yeah, AJ has to lock his answer in first. So again, your options are Mazomanie, Waterloo, and Ashwaubenon. AJ, what's your guess?
I'm going to guess Waterloo, but I do not know.
All right, AJ's going with Waterloo, which Sylvie already ruled out. Sylvie, what are you going with?
This is definitely in Ashwaubenon. Is that how you say it?
Yes.
This is definitely something in the community in down Main Street, in the square. We're going Kraut and Wieners.
All right, so you both have locked in. AJ says Waterloo. Sylvie says Ashwaubenon. One of you is correct. AJ got it right.
Oh!
There is a Waterloo, Wisconsin. It is just outside of Madison, and it is home to Kraut and Wiener Days, the first weekend of September, second weekend of September every year. AJ, you got all three questions right, which means you have 4 entries into the drawing on Friday. Good luck. And thanks for tuning in as always.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thanks.
See you, AJ.
I love you guys.
Gave us the Brett Favre love you guys. I always love that at the end, too. Sylvie, nicely done. You got 2 out of 3. That's not too bad. We will not put you in the drawing for a chance at an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack at the end of the week.
Why? I still deserve a prize pack.
I mean, we could just send you like a can koozie if you really wanted one that bad.
We always say that if you need a koozie, you're not drinking your beer quick enough.
But that you don't need one. You just get it as part of the prize pack. That's part of the fun. All right. Jason Wilde joins us as Packers training camp practice ensues up in Green Bay. This is going to be fun with a Bears fan on the panel. Jason sharing insights from practice. Don't go anywhere. 2 minutes away from Jason joining us at Packers training camp practice. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.